Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
God reached his hand down from the sky. He was a booking agent and offered him travel. He said he owes for rehearsal and get some new gear. Remember that no one can pay rent this year. So hurry up and wait and practice your chords. The DWP will want to see your working. Hello, welcome to 101 Part-Time Jobs, the podcast where I speak to bands and artists about sex, drugs, and being on the dole. Today we've got Owen Williams from The Tubs, whose new album Dead Meat is pretty damn great. Owen's in plenty of other bands. There's a near comprehensive list in this chat, most of which can be traced back to Joanna Gruesome, their band when they were in Cardiff. And there are some brilliant bands that have offshooted from that, making records and playing today. Sniffney and the Knits, X Void, the GN Band, Soup, S-U-E-P, whose new album Sharp is really, really good. You can go down that rabbit hole pretty quickly, pretty easily. There's a lot of stuff to discover there. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. Had loads of great episodes recently. Cheers for keeping up with it. Got some more in the can to go. The podcast is supported by 2000 Trees Festival, which is a great rock and punk and emo festival down in Cheltenham, just a couple of hours away from London on the train. They've made some great announcements in the last few weeks. Frank Hart and the Rattlesnakes is headlining with Bullet for My Valentine, 100 Reasons, American Football, Rival Schools, Bob Villain, The Bronx, Kneecap, Joyce Manor, Microwave, Sprint. Loads of brilliant bands at 2000 Trees this year. If you know you want to go but you haven't got your ticket yet, you can use the voucher code 101POD and get £20 straight off that ticket. That's £20 that you could spend on a breakfast sarnie, a cup of coffee, a boozy coffee at 9 a.m, a pack of ciggies, four pack of lagers. £20 can get you pretty far. If you know you want to go anyway, get your ticket, 2000trees.co.uk with the voucher code 101POD. All right, here's Owen from the Tubs and dozens of other bands on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Go well. Cheers!
You get to a particular point, and I think maybe up until that point, you've been in a like a family or kind of like a community where you can go to school.
Yeah.
And you know, and you get like £10 on the weekend, and you can spend time doing band practice, and then at some point there's like crunch time.
Yeah. Like the sort of floor falls out from beneath you, and you're trying to scramble. Which is what I've been doing for like maybe 10 years now or something.
When was the first time?
Yes, leaving university and not having a student loan, I suppose, is when it happened. But when we got a nice buffer because the band Jonah Grusin that we were in took off like as around that time. So we had a few years of, you know, actually kind of basically making a living. And then that band stopped. So we were like maybe 25.
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly having to like look for like a bar job or whatever and feeling like washed up musicians, which is kind of funny to think about in retrospect. So it sort of ended. And I mean, I've never actually had any interest in like pursuing a salaried job. And I didn't then. But I think what's slightly different was that after that band ended, I was like determined to kind of recreate that situation again and like, you know, get back to a point where we were kind of like, you know, making money and touring without having to get a job. And I've kind of learned over time that that's like actually like an impossible thing to keep doing for like, impossible in the sense that you can do it for like a few years. Unless you could become huge, I suppose. Mm. You can have a few years of like doing it, but eventually like you have to kind of, it's just precarious, isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
Like you can't keep it going for more than a few years before that the band gets forgotten about. So now I'm a bit more like aware that I have to like hustle to make money, and that's fine. It's like you kind of factor that into your decisions and it doesn't feel like a failure.
I think a lot of people, and like myself included, not playing band but doing something creative like this, in that sort of sense, I'm having to unlearn a lot of things that I was taught at different points in my life, which is to look for someone else to look after the situation,
right,
and strategize, kind of be in charge, because you're your own boss.
And like the problem is I've always been so like disorganized,
right.
So I'm like,
think you'd be the opposite, right? I mean,
so
you're in 15 bands.
Yeah, you'd think so, but it just, you know, like my life's kind of chaos. And I mean I like work hard, I suppose, you know, like I get very obsessed with like what producing stuff and like absorbed in the like making of it. So I have like a high, maybe like productivity rate.
Yeah.
But like low, very like poor, like organizational skills or like practical skills. I don't have any common sense.
Well, without sounding like, you know, a supportive family member, that's what makes you special.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like annoying for people though. I mean, and like, it's probably quite a frustrating thing to be around, but yeah, I can just romanticize it, so it's fine.
I'm
an artiste, so.
I often think, the greatest things I think about in, if I have like a moment of like, if I have a good thought, if I'm walking through the park, I'm having the morning coffee, or you have that little magic, usually that comes from a creative place or what someone else has made. Mm. And like, that's the important stuff.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I think I've kind of like, I have a bit of an extreme, I prioritize that stuff to like an extreme degree in a way.
Has that put you in trouble?
Yeah, like financially for sure. And like probably like interpersonally with my, like, I don't know why I use that word. That's like a sort of jargon word.
But,
in relationships and stuff, it's like I can get so, because I'm kind of like, I think because I'm kind of like, have an obsessive mind and I have like sort of OCD and stuff like that. So I can get these quite positive obsessions where like, I'm obsessed with like, for instance, like creating those kind of moments that you were talking about, doing stuff that's meaningful, which I think is generally a good kind of like principle, like a purpose. But I just seem to like do it to the expense of like my like, health and finances and maybe mental health to a degree. So I mean, I don't have a very good sense of balance, maybe.
That's something that we hear a lot more about in interviews and in sort of longer features about the sort of, it's not even knock-on effect, it's the direct effect of prioritizing going on tour for your health, like all kinds of health, just mental and physical. Have you been able to like reflect on that much over the years, given that you've been doing this for like a decade?
Well, I mean, what I've kind of learned, I suppose, is that it's partly the way, because I was brought up by parents who were sort of doing the same kind of thing. They were like writers and my mum was a musician. And so to me, there's not this kind of like inner conflict about, pursuing something as precarious or as like, non-lucrative as art.
Yeah.
Because that's what I saw them hustling to do that. So whereas I think other people, I think there's more maybe like a sense of guilt or shame, especially if their parents are being like, what the hell are you doing all the time? Where I just don't have that, which for better or for worse, I suppose,
I think we're all susceptible of, if people around us, if our direct people that we were around were saying, why are you doing this all the time? You'd start believing them.
Yeah, and I think we've got, especially all my friends, in this sort of network of bands that we're all part of, we've sort of like put ourselves in a bubble where we like don't really ever associate with anyone who would like make us feel like losers. Or, so it's like an echo chamber. Like, we don't even allow it in, really.
You're like a positive gang.
Yeah, exactly. A positive gang who are like all on the dole.
Do you talk to each other about this? I mean, you must do, right? Do you have these conversations?
Yeah, like, so it's not like we're like completely like, secure about it. Like, sometimes, like, especially when you have to do like humiliating jobs and stuff, and we don't earn money, and like, there's all the humiliations that like brings, we do get a bit dispirited. But then something like, like this Tubbs album that we just released has gone like incredibly well. And so now we're like, we don't give a shit anymore. We're rocking out again.
I imagine this must be really hard. You're working the whole time to rehearse and write these songs, which doesn't take any short amount of time.
I think in terms of writing songs, to me, like, it doesn't take any time, really. I just do it in like 10 minutes and I'm like, oh, there's a song. And then like a week later, I'll be like, oh, there's another song.
Brilliant.
That's fine. It's like the practicing and the like actual like logistics of being a band, which can be very difficult to sort of sync up with work. So I just have all these kind of casual jobs where I like leave for like a few weeks and then come back. But if you get sick or if I'm going a bit crazy or something, then everything falls apart. Do you know what I mean? I have a safety net in the sense, like, I like can borrow some money off my dad sometimes and stuff like that. So I'm not in like a, I've got a certain amount of privilege that allows me to like, kind of get by. But generally my life is just sort of like quite chaotic for those reasons, I think.
Yeah. Do you remember, I love that you write songs so quickly. I mean, how handy is that?
It's easy, man. It's just easy. I'm joking.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that kind of, is it a muscle memory thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it like, to me, it's just like a fun, it's like playing like how people feel when they like play video games or something. Like, if I'm just like bored, I'll just sit down and be like, I'll just think of a melody that's been going around in my head, and then I'll be like, then maybe I'll like nick a melody from another song and be like, I'll put that under some different chords, and you just kind of have fun with it. But yeah, because I've been doing it so regularly for like, what, maybe like 20 years, it's like, no, like not that long, like 15 years, then it, yeah, to me it's pretty easy. Like, but I also write fiction, and that is work. That's like hours of drafting and redrafting and stuff.
Novels?
Yeah, so I've written, I've only been doing it for like 4 or 5 years, but I've had a few things published, but I like, it's a bit definitely less of a sort of like, you know, there's less of a goer maybe than the music, because people tend to prefer music.
Well, and it's instant.
So I just bashed out all these tub songs, and I was like, yeah, I was proud of it. We took like a few weeks to make the album. And then suddenly it's like, you know, on Pitchfork, and like it's getting loads of people hearing it. And it's just such an easy thing to kind of like transmit to people. Mm. Whereas I spent like fucking like 3 years writing this book. I'm like, no one wants to read a novel anyway. So it's just like, whatever.
I mean, do you find it funny that, you know, you could make lots of records with the numerous of other bands? And I'd love to list them, but I'd be in fear that I'm leaving someone out.
You can try if you want.
I mean, do you know what?
I've actually got them. I might leave them out.
I've got them written down, actually. My friend Trev helped me with this. This is a potentially non-exhaustive list.
Yeah, I know Trev.
Brilliant guy. Okay, we got Joanna Gruesome, Sniffney and the Knits, Tubbs, X-Void, Saturday's Kids.
No, but I played in them for like a show maybe, but they're friends.
If you played a show with them, I think that counts.
I'd say I'm definitely the sixth member, the fifth member. I can't remember how many there were.
Grubbs, Evariste Galois.
Galois. I don't know why it was called that, but.
French?
It was like after a French, this is our teenage band. Like, it's kind of all right. It sounded like Dinosaur Jr. or something. Before Joanna Gruesome, when we were literally like 15 or 16.
Brilliant.
Evariste Galois. Matt, who's in the Tubbs and Sniffing the Knits, like, just like pretentiously named after a French mathematician, the way you do when you're 15.
Was it written on any backpacks?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe we had a patch or something. I don't know.
Garden Centre.
King of Cats.
And the Snivellers.
The Snivellers, yes.
I've never listened to the Snivellers.
The Snivellers were like a good band, I think, because it was Max Levy who played like the kind of, this role of like a kind of, you know, like a sort of scheming, snivelling manservant. You know, like the guy in Lord of the Rings, he's always like whispering into the old king's ear.
Yeah, lots of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, kind of very, like, you know, like backing slowly out into out of his master's chambers.
Almost like the whisperer to the hand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he's got kind of a mixture of like snivelling and like pathetic and like, but like scheming. And yeah, and so I thought it was a strong concept for a punk band. But yeah, we just didn't for many reasons we couldn't keep it together.
What struck me about Garden Centre and King of Cats especially, but then it kind of made sense to me when I realised they were shared members of Joanna Gruesome, is that you have made this world of your own. It's not like, I mean, to me, growing up in bands that wanted to sound like Against Me and Hot Water Music.
Yeah.
And did that,
yeah.
Like to some like kind of varying degrees. Mm. It feels like you've created your own world. Like, you know, you've been artists. You've been able to let your imagination go free.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think it's mainly just because we're all friends. You know, we've like there's quite a close knit group of friends. Maybe there's about 10 of us who've, you know, known each other for like all of our 20s, and we just kind of like try out different combinations of it. I mean, we need a name for it, maybe. Like, people call it the Joanna Gruesome Extended Universe, but I think that's unfair because a lot of, you know, people weren't in Joanna Gruesome. So I was saying the other day, we need, like, a name for our little collective.
I like the George Nichols band, the GN band.
The GN band, yeah. I mean, that as well, actually, I forget, yeah. I just forget, man.
They're
like,
so good. Who plays guitar?
Well, it's George writes all the parts. He's the guitarist at the time. He's a real like, sort of, shredding kind of Spanish guitar vibe.
So have you been able to, like, bounce off each other and kind of have... I think you know, if you were like a solo folk songwriter and you were living in London or any other expensive city or probably anywhere really, you probably feel quite alone. Do you think that having friends and close friends and bandmates, there's kind of bounce off each other? Have you ever had any moments where, like, one of you's nearly, like, defected and thought, I'm going to get a full-time job?
I mean, sort of have. Well, I mean, our drummer Exploit has just done that. But, you know, it's like...
It's a personal choice.
It's a personal choice. Of course. Of course. And, yeah, I think mostly we're, like, all in the same boat. And, yeah, you do sort of prop each other up, especially during the particularly, like, the bleaker times, you know? Mm. Yeah, I guess it's like... It would be interesting seeing when you go into your 30s. It comes even dicier then, I think. So,
well, before we...
We're all on the 30, roundabout. Yeah. On the cusp of it, so...
I almost wonder if that's a better age to do it, because I think 30s at that point where, you know, you've chosen your identity a bit more than maybe 25.
And you sort of know the lay of the land a bit. You know that, like, how precarious things are, and when you're in your 20s, you're a bit sort of clueless, I think. So I think yeah, and I do think bands, like, I think you do need to have, like, a high sort of, like, tolerance for, like, humiliation and stuff, though, because, like, I go to a party occasionally with, like, some old friends and stuff, and there'll be people who are, like, doing, you know, earning, like, big bucks, and often doing things that are very, like, you know, noble, like, you know, working, like, jobs where you're actually helping people, and, like, and there's lots, like, people, like, that I remember from school and stuff, or from my 20s, to have, like, high status and stuff, and nice flats, and so sometimes you're like, oh, shit, well, I earn, like, barely any money, and my job at the moment is, like, I've just got this thing that Max Levy does as well. It's called working for this company called Click Intelligence.
All right.
Where you, it's like an SEO company, and so you write these, like, clickbait articles, which are, like, so the one I wrote yesterday was something like 5 Greek island hideaways you need to visit.
So you're a copywriter?
Well, yeah, but it's basically, they're like sham articles that go on, like, a sham news site. And you're not actually, and these brands pay them to, like, create, like, like, neutral articles, which happen to mention these brands. So it kind of, like, circumvents the Google search like rule.
So the general idea is, the more times that word or that brand name is on different websites across the internet, the more likely it is to be a...
It's like a promotional, like, piece for a brand. It won't go up the search results.
I see.
But this company basically, like, specializes in creating, like, you know, quote-unquote journalism that happens to mention brands.
It's Trojan horse SEO.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, that's what I'm doing at the moment. And it's like, when someone's like, oh, you know, I work for, like in Parliament or some shit, I'm just like, yeah, that's what I'm doing for work. But then, you know, apart from that, I do, like, bar work in the Barbican Centre.
Oh, yeah.
I've been an invigilator in the Barbican for, like an art gallery invigilator for, like, 6 years.
What does an invigilator at an art gallery do? I mean, invigilator at school exams.
Yeah, right? So basically you're just standing around in the gallery. I mean, like, supposedly you're supposed to be there to, like, give information about the work. No one ever asks you about that. And I think, so, and the other thing you're supposed to be doing is protecting the artwork. But if someone did, you know, try an art heist or something, you'd be like, you had to call security. Like, you're not even allowed to, like, intervene if anyone's, like, throwing, like, tomato soup on the Van Gogh or whatever. So it's like, you're just like, there is, like, an insurance stipulation, I think.
That's really funny.
So, but it's funny because it's like, yeah, these jobs, I'm just doing, I get a weird pleasure out of doing, like, some of the, like, most meaningless jobs.
Barbican Centre's pretty incredible cultural.
I mean it's a great place to be, and it's actually nice being around, like, lots of people who are like in very similar sort of situations. Like you can get like, I've met loads of like, you know, people from quite big bands and stuff who like work there, or like people who are like actors who are doing quite well. And it's just funny, like you see all these people who are like basically like successful in their field, or what, you know, and we're all just doing these stupid jobs.
That's what we're here for.
Exactly.
That's the thing. 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs, 101 part-time jobs.
The contrast is quite funny, you know, so it's like, we'll be like, we'll go and play a festival in America or whatever, and you know, or like in Europe, and you'll get like a buffet full of like expensive cheeses and stuff. And then like the next week I'm back doing my clickbait or like pouring pints for like, you know, and it's just, I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, I mean, it's kind of sad, but it's funny as well.
It's interesting, you know, lots of authors traditionally, I mean, Down and Out in Paris and London is kind of something I think about a lot.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sure, that's like before like the world's most famous writer or one of them. Yeah. But there's that element of the struggling artist, which I think is...
It's like less romantic, or what I suppose, isn't it? Like, you know, you can't like romanticize going and like writing clickbait. Like, but I don't know. I mean, in a way, like I do think these like the gig economy and like these like 0 hours sort of jobs are like, I like, they actually like the only kinds of jobs that suit being in a band, I think. Mm-hmm. Like if those jobs didn't exist, I'd just be like constantly like taking kind of salary jobs or like jobs where you're locked into a contract and then having to give up and find new jobs.
Yeah.
So actually it does work kind of well, but you just get zero security and no sick pay or like, you know, so
yeah,
it's a bit of a catch 22. Because in a way, I'm quite glad that those sort of jobs exist. I think they suck for people who are like, that's their only job and that's the only thing they're doing. But I don't know, really.
It makes me think that if you play in a band or you're an artist, doesn't have to be music, can be visual art or any kind of art, naturally part of your MO or part of your remit is coming up with imaginary, like kind of original ways to do your shit.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, right?
Yeah. Well, my friend Max, who does the clickbait job, he has the best imagination for getting like ridiculous jobs. So like what has he done? He used to drive like a tiny train in on like across the seafront in Brighton.
Yeah, I know the one.
He like worked on like a dockland, like with tiny ships. He's a really small guy. So it always all suits.
Gets into small places.
Yeah, and he like operated the spotlight at like a burlesque bar. So his kind of MO is just like finding the most like ridiculous jobs you can find, and so that's quite inspirational for me. That's the thing I get a bit guilty about sometimes. I'm just like, I've kind of pursued quite like not egotistical things, but things that are quite like perhaps a bit selfish. But I don't know.
It's a hard conversation.
I don't even question it though. Do you know what I mean? I've just always just done it, and I haven't really like thought about it.
No question.
Especially when you're in so many bands, you don't even have time to like think about it. Yeah. You're just sort of like, oh, another band practice tonight, and then gig tomorrow, blah blah blah. So sometimes, like, yeah, I don't know, mental health takes over, and those are the times where I start dropping stuff.
Okay.
Because I'm spinning so many plates.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and I think because I like can be a bit like, yeah, like chaotic, and I just occasionally everything like falls apart. But sometimes it gets so bad that it's just like, you just have to ride it out a bit.
Just goes to shit and you have to like let time do its thing.
Yeah. But then I've been pretty good at like, it's almost like my brain knows that like when I have downtime, it can go crazy for a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like there's not many times where I've like had to cancel a tour or anything because I've been like, you know, like feeling crazy. But it's like schedules in a little breakdown.
Yeah. I just started therapy again, and I did the second one just this morning. Mm. And I think with therapy, I think if anyone who's ever had any kind of problem, big or small, like obviously it's going to help. I think it's kind of...
I started seeing a new therapist recently, and I just like showed up an hour late. So it's like, I was like, fucking hell, man.
I mean, that's one answer they haven't been able to give me a solution for is when I have downtime, or even if you have half an hour between things, just to sit down here on my couch,
yeah,
just brain goes,
yeah.
You know, I start thinking about something that makes me feel bad.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, like if like them playing music and stuff like I think it does help it in like an existential way. But I think on like in terms of like day-to-day anxiety, it can be pretty like rough on that stuff, you know.
So you've had a life of part-time jobs?
Yeah, pretty much.
Have any of them been specifically quite good in giving you ideas or kind of encouraging your imagination?
Yeah, well, so like the Invigilation one, which is like the art gallery thing that I've done for the longest, is pretty good because it's a job, but it's like it's also nothing. So you have all this space, and sometimes that can be filled by like anxiety. But sometimes I like written songs just like hanging around the gallery and like tapping on my knee or whatever and being like, you know, make like trying to write stuff. And you know, all of like fiction I've like, you know, just been like secretly on my phone. And I have hopefully no one at the job hears this, but I have like a secret like earpiece that I use to stream like audiobooks and podcasts. And
when you say secret, Is it translucent?
It's kind of like a spy. It's like flesh-coloured little spy, like Bluetooth thing. That, like, and I just put my hair over it. But yeah, if my managers are listening, like that's, I'm just saying this to seem cool. I don't actually do that.
That's brilliant. I mean, you know, I've had quite a few jobs in my time where that I will like feel. But I had one like chopping wood in Devon when I was living at my mum's for a year. And I just felt, I couldn't really explain, I felt very sad. And it was like, that encouraged my anxiety.
Yeah.
I don't think it did much good.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, like, because, I mean, sometimes, like, the routine does help, but...
Do you have a routine?
Not really at the moment. Like, I was in quite a good one in lockdown, where I would just write for, like, 4 hours and then go for a walk. And then, so I guess doing these things were sort of, like, you know, self-employed or whatever, you have to like, you know, really sort of create your own routine.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm better at that than others. Like my dad, he's a writer, and he's got a really solid routine. You know, he's very, and that really helps. But yeah, sometimes I find it kind of difficult.
I think it's hard if you're not a massively early riser. I think if you're an early riser, I think that can help the routine because you've just got more hours in the day.
And over like over Christmas and stuff, I was like, I had loads of problems with my sleep. So that just threw everything into like complete chaos.
But do you read much? Do you watch many films? Do you get like ideas or do you watch things that you've kind of identified as things that make you feel good basically and kind of help the song.
The problem is, right, like my taste, especially in like fiction, my taste and the stuff I write is so like horrible and bleak, like kind of funny maybe, but like just like my taste can be like so morbid sometimes. It's like I'm just like punishing myself by like reading this shit.
I mean, a lot of bands you're in sound happy,
yeah,
and might have sad lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, with X Void, like the lyrics are kind of just like pop lyrics. In the Tubs, I suppose they've been described as dour in Pitchfork. And I didn't think of them as that, but yeah. I mean,
of the lyrics that I noticed from X Void, yeah, there's a lot of like relationship stuff in there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, but I suppose I'm always like writing from like, you know, those kind of like aesthetically from like a pop kind of tradition of like quite surface level.
Are you interested in lyrics that, you know, something so specific, like I was here drinking my West Kent Badger Group mug?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes in the Tubs I'll be a bit more specific in that way. And I probably do write a bit more like in a literary way, perhaps. But often it's like, because the melodies I write are quite like rigid, like if I have a hook, it, you know, like saying, what is this, West Kent Badger Group? Those are like terrible like words to try and fit into a hook.
Phonetically.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's like, I just get a bit frustrated with trying to write good lyrics that like rhyme and that like fit into these quite like, you know, like rigid hooks. And that's, but I'm getting better at it because in Jonah Gruesome, the lyrics meant nothing at all. Like,
really?
They were like nonsense. Like occasionally I would, it'd be like if I was being like generous.
You wrote a good, I wrote the lyrics.
Yeah. Like, well, Lan would write the shouty lyrics, which tended to make sense. And mine, the melodic lyrics were just like, yeah, like a collage of images or whatever, but actually just absolute nonsense. And that's why, and the vocals were so low in the mix that you couldn't even tell what we were saying. Which I guess is kind of like My Bloody Valentine maybe or something like that, where it's like, it's more like the voice is like an instrument than like a...
Yeah.
Like, where, so we're now trying to actually write lyrics.
Isn't it funny how if you like a band, if you really like a record, those lyrics, they can kind of, they could be anything, but you still believe in them.
Yeah,
you,
right,
they
yeah.
still kind of become your like scripture.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, people just take what they want from it, I suppose. but it's not, but yeah. So I try not to like point out that it doesn't mean anything.
There you are.
Apart from that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, I've got a good one. So there was, we were working, me and Max Levy, we were working in, for this job where you were basically like, it was like a call center job in Brighton. And your role was to kind of like trick like people in America. You just basically kind of like trick receptionists into giving you like the details of like business people. So we were just doing this stupid job. But on the same day, we both got fired. Because I just left and went to Wetherspoons. And then we came back, like, after just, like, getting a bit pissed in the middle of the day. And then we were both... our manager came over while we were crowding around, like, the computer looking at pictures of motorbikes. Like, after, like, four pints. And then me and Max both got fired.
And what was getting fired like?
I don't even
like.
Know why we weren't even interested in motorbikes, but we were just like, he was just showing me these like different pictures of motorbikes while we were like drunk in the middle of the day.
And do you remember what they said? Do you remember like the feeling? Was it like the air got sucked out of the room when he came in? What was the feeling?
The feeling was just like, well, I felt a mixture of like, yeah, that feeling of it, like anxious, but also kind of happy.
Really?
So we were finally getting fired.
Brilliant. Do you remember walking out that door?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and again, like a mixed feeling of like elation and fear.
Great, love it. Thanks so much, Owen.
That's right.
So there was Owen Williams here on 101 Part-Time Jobs. The Tubbs' new album, Dead Meat, is out now. Go and listen to them and all the bands the members share. There's a lot to be enjoyed. Thanks to Josh from Memorials of Distinction for setting this up. And thanks to you for listening. See you next week for some new episodes. Here's Cox Barra.
I've been working all day, bumming mate on the side, running around like a blue-ass fly. I've been working, yeah, I've been working all day, bumming mate. Every bleeding minute I've been on the go, up and down the ladder like a fiddler's little bow. I've been working, yeah, I've been working all day, bumming mate.
This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.